That song is what Child Is This. And what I want to do, I've got kind of two things to do this morning. I don't really have a message per se, a few little highlighted points from the Christmas story that Charlotte and I enjoyed together while y'all were thinking about lunch. That's fine. But I want to share something. In the years past, I've come across what I think are hilarious Christmas videos of thinking about this Christmas story through the words of children, and then these adults act out as a kid share the story. And so I came across another one this year. And so Charlotte and I, we just read the biblical story, and I want to share this perspective for something fun today, kind of put a smile on your face as you think about Christmas, and watch this and listen to it, and then we're going to make a few comments about the story, and then we're going to be on our way.
Apron. She was sweeping the floor, wasn't she?
Mary was exercising.
Mary was sweeping the floor of her house, minding her own business when an angel came.
The angel who came to Mary was Gabriel.
I can put it straight for you. He's a guy with wings.
He said,
"Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus."
Yeah, she was happy a little.
Mary probably felt like a little shocked and a little bit, and like a little scared. I think she was like so startled that she didn't react and just stood there, because she might have thought that the angel was coming to tell her that her time was done. Joseph?
I don't remember.
Yeah, that's Jesus' dad. He built stuff.
I think he was making like a little table or a bench.
He used a hammer, a drill, a saw, pickaxe.
Joseph found out in a dream when the angel came and said, Mary was having a baby. Mary was going to be pregnant, having a baby, and would be named Jesus.
The baby was going to be born in her stomach, and he finally believed.
Now he said,
"We're going to have a baby. Don't be afraid. The baby was from God."
Joseph probably thought, like, I already know this, but I'm still really shocked about it. So I'm just going to act like it's the first time that I knew about this. And just how he said, "But we aren't even married yet. What are we going to do?"
Caesar Augustus told them to go a very long trip.
They had to go be counted.
You have to go to Bethlehem.
I think it was really far.
Like 100 or something.
50 miles.
Super duper far. On the other side of the world.
They got there by traveling.
They rided a donkey.
They went to an inn.
The person who they wanted a house in, no one here.
Joseph said, "We need a place to stay because we are having a baby. He will be the new Lord, and he is going to come very soon, and we would just like a place to stay." The innkeeper said, "I'm sorry, this inn is full, and we can't take any more people. We must find somewhere else. Don't come in."
There was no room left.
So they lived in a shed.
They had to go where all the animals were.
Like chickens and pigs and cows and sheep and goats.
I think it was hard to be in there because the chickens were making so much noise.
It was smelly.
It smelled really bad.
They brought some stuff from home.
They used spray and a broom.
Some flowers and stuff. Because at the time, the air freshener wasn't invented.
And then it was time for Mary to have her baby.
So Jesus is born. And he gets laid down in a manger. And he gets covered with bits of cloth and linen for a little, like, baby bundle.
God wanted Mary to have a baby. The shepherds were washing their sheep. They had a campfire outside. They were watching their sheep if coyotes or wolves or fox came. Stars were in the sky and angels came. And they went,
please don't take us up. We need to tend to our sheep.
The angels tell the shepherds, "Don't be afraid.
We are not here to take you up in the heaven. We are just messengers to tell you that Jesus, the new Lord, has been born. He is in Bethlehem. We would like you to see him."
Let's go see.
King Herod wanted to stand right, so he ordered the three wise men, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so I too may go worship him."
They were looking up at the stars and they saw a star that they never seen before.
"Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are."
They followed the star to Bethlehem.
The wise men get to Jesus.
They brought gifts to Jesus.
Gold, frankincense,
and like myrrh. And they also brought them, like, spices for when he becomes king.
Here's the baby Jesus. He's on his star. We come to worship him.
Mary and Joseph probably said, "Hello, little Jesus. You will be our new Lord. May God be praised.
Thank you for saving us from our sins. Baby, there. I love you, Jesus." Jesus was born on Christmas.
Jesus is the Son of God. He came to save us.
Jesus was the Lord of the land who died on the cross, paying for all our sins.
He saved us from our sins.
He's really special.
Cut. That's a wrap.
Cut the wrap.
Perfect. Good job. Thank you.
I'm going to tell you, I never tire of coming across these videos. It is like the funniest thing to me. So if y'all don't like it, then just let me have a few moments of joy this morning, and then you can move on. But I've come across several of these through the years, and I haven't even duplicated one yet. That's the amazing thing. So this is a fresh one, but I love that. And here's the point. On Christmas, the song that Abigail played, and we know so well, "What Child Is This?" There's a lot of different ways you can answer that question. And the world around us does not answer that question the way that the Bible answers that question. You know that, and I know that. You can answer the question with video, as this church did with their children's ministry and acting it out. You can answer the question with a song. You can answer the question by just reading the Bible story. And so, as Charlotte and I did earlier, we were looking at that again while y'all were thinking about whatever else. And we were finding the answer to that question of what child is this? So, let's look back at the Christmas story. If you've got your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 2. If not, that's fine. I know it's kind of a different type of service for us today. But in Luke chapter 2 with the Christmas story, we have a setting in the first verse where it talks about the days that Caesar Augustus was the emperor. You know about the census, which is basically taking a count of population for the purpose of taxation. This was not a tax bill, but it was preparing the way for your tax bill. And so a census was taken, and it gives details about the emperor, verse 2 about the governor, where he was located. And it's a reminder for us as we think about Christmas that Jesus came into a real world. Right? We think Christmas is only the angels, and it's only the shepherds, and it's only the wise men later on in the story. But he came into a real world with a real governor in place, with real geographical locations on a map. He came into a real world with anxieties and pains and uncertainties and all the stuff that we deal with today, but it's just wrapped in a little bit of a different package, right? Some of the same stuff we deal with today, they were dealing with back then. And the Bible says he dropped down into a very real world. Now, when you go further into the story and we read about the days being completed for Mary to give birth, it's a reminder, a good reminder, that with her being great with child, on the verge of childbirth, you're looking here potentially of a 5-day journey, okay? 90 to 100 miles of travel over about 5 days. And that's why we believe and assume that as Joseph was leading there with Mary, as we saw a couple weeks ago in our play, more than likely, you know, she was riding some kind of a donkey, because it wouldn't make sense to make a lady on the verge of giving birth. It wouldn't even make sense to be able to walk that kind of distance in rugged terrain. So that's kind of like the context and background of the story. And the Bible says when they got there, that then the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to this firstborn, wrapped him in strips of cloth. Now, we know those as swaddling cloths or swaddling clothes, but it's really strips of cloth. Very common to wrap the little infant snugly in these strips for extra protection for the limbs. And they had some thoughts that may not be exactly accurate with keeping a limb straight for growth and all the development, but the point is, it was very common back then, and that's exactly what they did with Jesus. So they get there, and we know in the story, we saw it with the video, that there was no room for them in the inn. Okay, why was there no room? Well, you got a bunch of people traveling now to Bethlehem for the census. You've got to return to your kind of like your hometown. And with all of these people descending upon Bethlehem, all the Holiday Inns and Quality Inns filled up, right? And they knock on the doors. There's nowhere to stay. And in God's providence, with Jesus relating to us in this world, he ends up being put out, most likely into a cave. Charlotte said she'd never been to Bethlehem. But if you go, you'll go into a cave where they believe that very likely, you know, Jesus could have been born and where the shepherds would have been. And they'll even give you little candles. You'll sing Silent Night in that cave in Bethlehem to mark this occasion. So more than likely, probably in a cave. And with it being a cave, or at least attached to some kind of a dwelling, they were in a place where the animals were kept. So that's why the Bible story says that Jesus was put into a stone crib. I have never gone to a baby supply store and found a crib made of stone. Isn't that Now, it's not something we'd want today. It's too heavy, right? It's just not going to work. But for them, they use a manger, a feeding trough for cattle. They clean it out real good, I'm assuming put some fresh straw down, some kind of a blanket, and there they put this little newborn. The story shifts gears then. We go out into the fields in verse 8. And there's shepherds out there, and they're taking turns tending the flocks all through the night. And the Bible says that while they're out there in verse 9, an angel of the Lord, and I got a feeling that angel did not look like the dude in the video. That's a scary looking angel. An angel appears, stands before the shepherds. The Bible says that the glory of God was shining around them, and they were so scared, which any of us would have been. Now while Mary and Joseph were there in, you know, there on the manger, out on the hillside outside of Bethlehem, there's this resounding heavenly concert taking place, and they don't have a clue. So the angel appears, and of course other angels appear with them. And it is in verse 11 where we have the answer to that question. What child is this? Bible says, the angel in verse 10 says, "Don't be afraid, behold, I bring you good news." That's the gospel of great joy, which shall be for all the people. And the answer to the question in verse 11, "For today, in the city of David," that is Bethlehem, "there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Now, mark it down. This is a very rare occurrence in Scripture to have three titles ascribed to Jesus in one verse. In fact, it may be the only time in the entire Bible that these three titles are put together to answer that question of what child is this. So look at the three titles. Number one, the angel says that he is the Savior. Number two, he is the Christ, okay, the Messiah, the anointed one, the prophet Isaiah foretold. And he is the Lord. There's something about deity involved in this human package. The baby is described in the highest possible terms. Out in the fields where the standard, common, everyday, and ceremonially unclean shepherds were working. They were at their workplace that day when the Christmas story came to them. You wrap up the rest of the story. The angels say that this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloth, so that's a swaddling cloth, strips of cloth, and that baby will be lying in a manger. Now, they're going to go back into Bethlehem. They want to see the baby. How are they going to find the baby? There very likely would have been one or two other babies in Bethlehem, at least. And there would have been some wrapped in swaddling clothing. But the only one they would have come across that was actually put into a manger, into a feeding trough, would have been the one they were looking for. So I don't know how it was. If they get to Bethlehem, and I wonder if they go from like stall to stall looking for a family with a little baby. And they look around, they're peeking in, and they finally come to one. And when they look in that particular stall, they see the same manger they've seen in the other stalls, but this one has a baby in it. And they discern rightly, this must be the one that the angels were talking about. It says as they were out in the fields, that suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts. They were praising God, and they were saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And that's what led the gentleman to write that song. Okay, there's peace come with this baby, but in his life, he said, there is no peace on earth right now. The angel says, "There shall be peace between God and man." This is called the Gloria in Excelsis Deo in some of your songs. Came about when the angels had gone away from them. The shepherds decided, let's go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened that God has made known to us. Of course, they came in haste. They found their way to Mary and Joseph, and they find the right stall, and the baby's there in the manger in the feeding trough. Now, when they had seen this, guess what they did? They looked at Mary and Joseph, and they said, "You're not going to believe what just happened out in the fields." Yeah. And they said, we were out there working. This is like working at Walmart at 10 o'clock at night. And this is, they're just doing standard work. And while they are working, they said, an angel appeared. And this is what the angel said. And Mary and Joseph must have been looking at them like, there ain't no way all that happened out there in them hills. Angel said, this is exactly what happened. Now Mary, Bible says in particular, in verse 19, she sat there quietly and she pondered everything the angels said. Just kind of treasured these things in her heart. After they share that Christmas greeting, they answered the question, what child is this? Verse 20 says, they then went back to work. But they went back changed men. They went back glorifying God. They were praising God for everything they had heard, everything they had seen, just as it had been told to them. Now, I say this every year, so I just will say it this year as well. To fully understand the Christmas story, you've got to go beyond the crib to the cross. We saw this 2 weeks ago with our play, that Jesus was born to die. Right? Our three angels sang that song for us, and we focused on that in the play. He was born to die. If you only celebrate the crib at Christmas, you will completely miss the main point of Luke chapter 2. He was born to die. So to answer the question, what child is this? The angel gives us the answer in verse 11. He is the Savior. He is the Christ. And He is the Lord. The question remains for us and for people around us, what are we going to do with that question? How are we going to answer that question? I answered that question, oh my goodness, 30 years ago. I just realized this is my, am I correct, May of 1992? 30 years ago, it just hit me. 30 years ago at 17 years of age, I answered that question in my pastor's study during Sunday school, right before Sunday school, Sunday morning. And I answered that question, what child is this? And you know what? It's simply acknowledging He is my Savior. He is the Messiah that the Old Testament has prophesied about. And He is the Lord. Most important thing at Christmas is making sure you answer that question and you've got Him as your Savior, as your Messiah, and as your Lord.
Amen.
That's the most important thing. So that's the question, what child is this? And that is the answer from the Christmas story. Let me pray for us, and then we are going to be dismissed. I know you're busy. We are busy. A lot of stuff going on today. But I'm glad we had the opportunity to meet for a little bit this morning. So let's pray as we close our time. And as we bow together, just in case you've come in today without Christ, or maybe you're listening later online, and you're not a believer, you've not trusted in Him as your Savior, as your Messiah, as your Lord, this is your opportunity on Christmas of 2022 to say, I don't have it all together. As a sinful person, I'm not perfect. And I know that Jesus came and died for me, and I'm embracing Him as my Savior, my Lord, and committing my life to Him. That may be the decision that you need to make this morning before you head back to your activities and gatherings today. And if it is, then this is your chance to do so. Simple prayer in your heart. Say, Lord, I just want to be saved. I just want Christ. I just want to know that I'm right with You, that my sins are forgiven, and I've got a home in heaven forever and ever. You lift up a silent prayer to that end as I pray, and then we'll be dismissed. So Father, today we are so thankful for the Christmas story. It's so simple, and yet the world misses it. Oh my goodness, do they ever miss it? They ain't even hitting the target, the edges of the target with Christmas. It comes down to a baby, and it comes down to the answer to that question, what child is this? Well, this child is the Savior. He is a Messiah. He is the Lord. Thank You for that simple answer given to the shepherds on that hillside outside of Bethlehem many, many years ago. And today, for any who may have turned to Christ and prayed to receive Him and that gift of eternal life. Lord, I would ask that You would help them now as they grow closer to You. Maybe today before they leave, they would let me know, as I want You to know, here at Christmas of 2022. I sincerely, truly gave my heart to Christ and became a Christian. I'm a believer now. I'm saved. We're so thankful for that. And as we leave today, we pray Your blessings on this day. We pray for protection in our travels to family, to different places. We pray for a fun time, an exciting time, and just blessings from heaven upon our gatherings. Thank You for Christmas. Thank You for the simple answer to that question. We love You. And we lift up to Your prayer in the rest of this day, in the name of Jesus, our Savior, Your Son, who took on flesh, partook of it, so that He could become like us, yet without sin, that we might be saved. So it is in His name that we lift up our prayer and come to You. Amen.